Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express in Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Today's message, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, is based upon the wonderful verse from Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. And based upon a beautiful poem by George Matheson that was later turned into a beautiful hymn by the same name, O Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go. We will learn that this is a conditional promise here in Romans 8:28. But the promise is rich with hope for those that love God. God has an eternal purpose for each of our lives. Remember, He first loved us. If we embrace His love and forgiveness and confess Him, He will then send us out into the world to share that love of redemption with others. God's purpose is to use you so that ye may profit from it. Do not let him go, O child of God, and neither will he thee. O love that will not let me go. Part 1. Today's lesson, the love that will not let me go. The love that will not let me go. The promise of providence. The promise of providence. Romans chapter 8, and we'll be in the book of Romans just looking at this passage here. But as if I've mentioned before, you've heard me talk about it, I love the book of Romans, and I go back to the book of Romans in a lot of cases and a lot of sermons because there's so much in this book. So let's read it here. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay, so sometimes we don't know what to be praying for. But the Bible says here, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. Okay? He being the Lord. That searcheth the heart knoweth what's in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. The Lord Jesus is making intercession for you at the right hand of the Father, even at this very moment, for each one of us, according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And this is a promise. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The book of Romans is the great book on sin and righteousness. The eighth chapter is deep with doctrine, heavy with the atmosphere of a cursed earth, fragrant with the sacrifice of Christ, holy with the presence of the Spirit, and full of the love of God. The blessings set forth are for all who believe, though some may not know and others may not appreciate them. In chapter 8 of Romans, we have the provision which God has made for his children through Jesus, the safety of the sons and daughters of God. The theme of this chapter is in Jesus Christ, and we'll see that. Paul in chapter 8 has dwelt upon the certainty of sonship, the sorrows and sufferings of believers as a prelude to glory. The help of the Holy Spirit in infirmities, now comes a glorious promise. And we know. Paul has been leading us up step by step to the point where this verse confronts us. There is an ascending scale from the first verse in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 begins with, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in, what? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation to those that walk in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's a condition that we have to understand that. There's a condition that we have to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Here in verse 28 is one of the most stupendous, sweeping statements of the Scriptures. Here is light in the dark places of a believer's life. Here is the antidote for the blues, the sure-all for discouragement. Here is the optimistic answer to every pessimistic doubt. Here is Christian comfort amidst every form of distress, despair, and discomfort. Roman numeral 2 in the notes there. We know. Here is a place for faith to rest and look out from calm confidence. assured that the God of all grace will fulfill his word. We know, because if you go back, look at that verse again. It says, we know, back on page one, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Note how the believer is to answer every question of unbelief. To every essential question, there is a positive reply. Okay? So we know. As to the past, we know we are blind. Paul here, in the story of the blind man that Jesus healed, and if you remember the story in John, where Jesus spit on the ground and took the clay and put it over the blind man's eyes and then told him to wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam. And that's in verse 7. And so he did. And then the Pharisees had heard he was healed on the Sabbath day, and they were angry that Jesus healed a man on the Sabbath day. And they talked to him and said, who did this to thee? And he didn't know who did it. It was just, he said, this man has got to be of God. He's not a sinner. He's got to be of God. And one of his answers here in verse 25, he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And that's the same for every one of us, everyone in the room here. Our eyes were opened when we were saved. When we were saved, our eyes were spiritual, and that's the song of amazing grace. That I was blind, but now I see. And one of the verses. And so, it says here in your notes here, it says, and Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. That's speaking of those who are without faith, those who are sinners, those who know not that they are sinners, and that they which see might be made blind, meaning, what is he saying here? He's saying those who think they know the truth will be blinded. Those who should be leading the people and are not leading them, and they think they're the righteous ones, are going to be blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are ye blind also? Or are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. And so they didn't see they were a sinner. They said the blind man was a sinner. They said Jesus was a sinner. And what would they know? But they knew the truth. And so they in actuality were the ones who were blind. And those who were blind were made to see. So in the past, we know we were blind. Just like that blind man said. As to salvation, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We are a congregation knit together to help one another. Help one another who's hurting, who's sick. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Also, we know as to assurance. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his spirit. So, as to the assurance, And we'll see this later on in the scriptures, the assurance, the earnest of God's promises is the Holy Spirit that dwells within each one of us. And the Spirit, we should allow the Spirit to lead us, not to grieve the Spirit, but lead us. And so to the assurance of the promises, we hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. As to resurrection, as to the future resurrection. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that's speaking of your bodies will dissolve one day. The soul will be separated from the body, and that happens at death. I've taught that to you before. And the soul goes to paradise, and the body goes to the grave, and it deteriorates, it decays in the grave. But it says here that for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Eternal, that house not made with hands. That's not talking about the mansion that the Lord is building us. That's talking about a new glorified body, a new temple, a new eternal body that the Lord will give you. As to the character of the future, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We know. These are things that are in the scriptures for us to know. That we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so when he appears, we shall be like him in glorified bodies, resurrected as he was resurrected 2,000 years ago. As to the present circumstances, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that love God. The humblest believer can laugh at the greatest philosopher who has sought and failed to find out one of these precious truths. And we see so many people and philosophers and psychiatrists and psychologists trying to answer the questions of life and everyday living, and without Christ, without the Word of God, they fall flat in their answers. So, in the bottom of page 2, a conditional promise, a sweeping statement, a mighty promise to a special class. Those who are the called and who chose to be loyal to God, all the forces of God moving in silent majesty in behalf of his own, the opposite forces moving in swift retribution for them who are opposed to him. So the sweeping statement, the conditional promise, the promise that we talked about, the promise of providence, that all things work together. The sweeping statement, a mighty promise to a special class. Those who are the called and who chose to be loyal to God. All the forces of God moving in silent majesty in behalf of his own. And all the opposite forces moving in swift retribution for them who are opposed to him. All things are working for the glory of the Lord's church, of the firstborn. Okay? All things are working for the glory of the Lord's church, of the firstborn, while also working toward the judgment of the world. No neutral forces exist. They are either good or evil. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. That's from Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Or for every force, there is an equal and opposite force. And the Lord is working towards advancing and promoting his saints, and he's advancing and moving forward into the retribution and the judgment of the evil. And we know that evil exists. We see it firsthand today in our own country, and we are being torn apart as a nation. And so Roman numeral 4 in your notes, the fullness of the promise. All of the events of life are woven together. All of the events of life are woven together. All things belong to the believer, including the apparent negative events of life. The scriptures tell us here in 1 Corinthians, therefore let no man glory in men. Let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. For all things are yours. It tells us here in 2 Corinthians also, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound, means contribute to the glory of God. So all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound or contribute to the glory of God. So even the negative things in life, like tribulation, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so the part of that promise there that we have been looking at there in Romans, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things, for all things are yours. Tribulation is ours. Those things are ours. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In me, in Christ. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And that's the important part of being in Christ, being continuously in the Lord Jesus Christ. Temptation. We have temptation in our life. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. The devil is tempting you. The world is tempting you, throwing temptations out there continuously. That the trial of your faith, God is testing our faith. Through these difficulties, these trials, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. So the trials of your faith are even more precious than gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's just... hard to comprehend in our worldly sense, in our nature, that the trials of our faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The fiery trials of life. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. We go through all kinds of strange things in our lives, difficult things, hard to understand. We ask the question, why? But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed... Okay, at his return, when his glory shall be revealed, when he calls us up to the clouds, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. May be glad with exceeding joy to be called up and to be with our Lord, who also went through great fiery trials of the faith, tribulation, persecution, beatings, and of course the crucifixion. Affliction, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Okay? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth. The Lord cares for you. He cares for us. Every one of us in this room. We may not seem like, it may not seem so. We push him away ourselves. But casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. There's not a person in this room that this devil's not going after. The devil's going after you, going after me. He goes after us. He goes after all believers for 2,000 years. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He wanted to devour Job. God wrote had a whole book written. Just to give us an example of how Satan went after Job, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith. Okay? Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Okay, so they resist. We need to resist the devil and be steadfast in the faith. Knowing, there's that word knowing. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that we have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthened, and settle you. You are settled, strengthened, established. We are made perfect through the suffering. Suffering brings perfection. All the sufferings of affliction, of the fiery trials, of temptations, of tribulation, of all the hardships, all the difficulties, all the struggles of life, it brings perfection, establishes and strengthens and settles us. The purpose of the promise. God is working out a plan. He is a God of order. God is working out a plan. He is a God of order.
You have been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express, 13625 Tegeler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible. The true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.